Still without lights, they passed 4 more armored cars, then a long line of trucks loaded with troops. The troops were silent in the dark, and at first Andres only felt their presence rising above him, bulking above the truck bodies through the dust as they passed. Then another staff came behind them, blasting with its klaxon and flicking its lights off and on, and each time the light shone, Andres saw the troops, steel-helmeted, their rifles vertical, their machine guns pointed up against the dark sky, etched sharp against the night that they dropped into when the light flicked off. Once as he passed close to a troop truck and the lights flashed, he saw their faces fixed and sad in the sudden light. In their steel helmets, riding in the trucks in the dark toward something that they only knew was an attack, their faces were drawn with each man's own problem in the dark, and the light revealed them as they would not have looked in day, from shame to show it to each other, until the bombardment and the attack would commence, and no man would think about his face. Andres, now passing them truck after truck, Gomez, still keeping successfully ahead of the following staff car, did not think any of this about their faces. He only thought, "What an army! What equipment! What a mechanization! Vaya gente! Look at such people! Here we have the army of the Republic! Look at them! Camion after camion! All uniformed alike! All with casks of steel on their heads! Look at the machinas rising from the trucks against the coming of planes! Look at the army that has been builded!" And as the motorcycle passed the high gray trucks full of troops, gray trucks with high square cabs and square ugly radiators, steadily mounting the road in the dust and the flicking lights of the pursuing staff car, the red star of the army showing in the light when it passed over the tailgates, showing when the light came onto the sides of the dusty truck bodies as they passed, climbing steadily now, the air colder and the road starting to turn in bends and switchbacks now, the trucks laboring and grinding, some steaming in the light flashes, the motorcycle laboring now too, and Andres clinging tight to the front seat as they climbed. Andres thought this ride on a motorcycle was mucho, mucho. He had never been on a motorcycle before, and now they were climbing a mountain in the midst of all the movement that was going to an attack, and as they climbed, he knew now there was no problem of ever being back in time for the assault on the posts. In this movement and confusion, he would be lucky to get back by the next night. He had never seen an offensive, or any of the preparations for one before. And as they rode up the road, he marveled at the size and power of this army that the Republic had built. Now they rode on a long, slanting, rising stretch of road that ran across the face of the mountain, and the grade was so steep as they neared the top that Gomez told him to get down, and together they pushed the motorcycle up the last steep grade of the pass. At the left, just past the top, there was a loop of road where cars could turn, and there were lights winking in front of a big stone building that bulked long and dark against the night sky. "Let us go to ask there where the headquarters is," Gomez said to Andres, and they wheeled the motorcycle over to where 2 sentries stood in front of the closed door of the great stone building. Gomez leaned the motorcycle against the wall, as a motorcyclist in a leather suit, showing against the light from inside the building as the door opened, came out of the door with a dispatch case hung over his shoulder, a wooden holstered Mauser pistol swung against his hip. As the light went off, he found his motorcycle in the dark by the door, pushed it until it sputtered and caught, then roared off up the road. At the door, Gomez spoke to one of the sentries.
"Captain Gomez of the 65th Brigade," he said. "Can you tell me where to find the headquarters of General Goltz, commanding the 35th Division?"
"It isn't here," the sentry said.
"What is here?"
"The Comandancia."
"What Comandancia?"
"Well, the Comandancia."
"The Comandancia of what?"
"Who art thou to ask so many questions?" the sentry said to Gomez in the dark.
Here on the top of the pass, the sky was very clear with the stars out, and Andres, out of the dust now, could see quite clearly in the dark. Below them, where the road turned to the right, he could see clearly the outline of the trucks and cars that passed against the skyline.
"I am Captain Rogelio Gomez of the 1st Battalion of the 65th Brigade, and I ask where is the headquarters of General Goltz," Gomez said.
The sentry opened the door a little way.
"Call the corporal of the guard," he shouted inside.
Just then a big staff car came up over the turn of the road and circled toward the big stone building where Andres and Gomez were standing, waiting for the corporal of the guard. It came toward them and stopped outside the door.
A large man, old and heavy, in an oversized khaki beret, such as chasseurs à pied wear in the French army, wearing an overcoat, carrying a map case, and wearing a pistol strapped around his greatcoat, got out of the back of the car with two other men in the uniform of the International Brigades. He spoke in French, which Andres did not understand, and of which Gomez, who had been a barber, knew only a few words, to his chauffeur, telling him to get the car away from the door and into shelter. As he came into the door with the other two officers, Gomez saw his face clearly in the light and recognized him. He had seen him at political meetings, and he had often read articles by him in Mundo Obrero, translated from the French. He recognized his bushy eyebrows, his watery gray eyes, his chin and the double chin under it, and he knew him for one of France's great modern revolutionary figures who had led the mutiny of the French Navy in the Black Sea.